So what was your inspiration for this comic? How did it all come about?
Well, Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic was a series of comics I did for Dark Horse. It ran 50 issues. I wrote all 50 of those. Came out from 2006 to 2010. And I took a break after that to work on another Star Wars title, which I also do, which is called Knight Errant, and also to write a prose novel based on Knight Errant. But the intention had always been to come back and do some more Knights of the Old Republic comics at some point. Knights of the Old Republic is set about 3,962 years before the Star Wars movies. That's a specific number, but who's counting? Yeah, and it, this is a time, you know, when, you know, as you hear in the movie where, you know, Obi-Wan talks about how the Jedi were the protectors of peace and order in the galaxy for 1,000 generations. Well, this is in the middle of that time. The Republic is not being troubled by the Sith, but they are being challenged now by the Mandalorians. The Mandalorians are it's not a race. It's actually a movement of, you know, these guys who like to dress up like Boba Fett. And instead of going to conventions, they invade planets. And they convince everybody on the planet that, hey, you know, come along with us. We'll take over the next place and the next place and the next place. In our previous series, we showed the first year of that war, where the Mandalorians, you know, decided that they were going to take on the Republic. The Republic was really sort of thrown back on its heels. But over the course of that series, we depicted the decision of some Jedi to go and get involved in the war. And as our new series opens, you know, we're at a what I hope is a new starting point for readers that you know, didn't read the previous series. You know, there's nothing here that requires you to have read that. You know, this is beginning the period where the Jedi are actually actively involved in the war, helping the Republic. And caught in the middle of this is the protagonist of our previous series and the protagonist of this series, a kid named Zane Carrick. And Zane is if he's not the worst Jedi student ever, he's pretty close to it. Our previous series was about how, did not become a Jedi Knight and instead used his skills sort of, you know, as a combination con artist and, you know, freelance hero, you know, helping people out who, you know, would not be people who the Jedi would help or the Republic would help or anything like that. Well, that unfortunately sets him in a position where in our current series, you know, since he's not a member of the Jedi Order, he's eligible for the draft. And when the Mandalorians start getting close to the worlds at the center of the Republic, Zane gets drafted, and this is why this is really a good starting place here in this series, because, you know, it opens with Zane thrown out onto the battlefield, you know, with the other recruits. You know, it's a new cast of characters pretty much. You know, we get to see what, life is like for him here. And it's very much, I think, different than other war stories that we've seen, because, one of the things about Zane is he doesn't believe in killing, which would have made him a pretty bad Jedi. he does not think that, you know, the Republic or the Jedi or anybody else really, you know, should be deciding who lives and who dies. And so he's out here on the battlefield and really trying to, you know, convince everybody to get along, and they're not getting along because it's the middle of a war. So it's a fun predicament for the character to be in.
Aside from, you know, him not wanting to kill, and he kind of, from the first issue, he's just stuck in the middle of this entire thing. What else do you think separates him from other characters that you've written over the years? How is he unique?
Well, one of the things is that unlike characters that I've written before, you know, Tony Stark in Iron Man, or certainly any, you know, of the other popular Jedi that we've seen, Anakin Skywalker, or you know, we also, you know, I've also written Kara Holt, who's this Jedi who's the star of Knight Errant. Yeah, these people are all very good at what they do. They're very good at combat. They're very skilled. They're at the top of their class. You know, Zane is the kid at the other end of the curve. He is not really skilled at combat, and that's, I think, why, you know, we teamed him up with a bunch of con artists in the previous series, because, you know, what he relies upon are sort of the softer skills that Jedi use. You know, the whole "these are not the droids you're looking for" thing. you know, persuasion and misdirection. And, you know, we had so many fun, you know, stories in the previous series where, you know, it was just one caper after another, where he and his cohorts would, dress up or impersonate other characters or run all sorts of different scams. Usually, you know, because Zane was around, it was in the name of good. It wasn't in the name of just getting rich quick. But I think that is an interesting thing to try to transfer now to this new series, because, again, it's in the middle of a shooting war. And, you know, despite that fact, you know, Zane is still going to try to use what he knows how to do to, you know, achieve a positive result. And I don't want to get too much into detail about what's coming up, except that, yeah, I think we probably have the wildest, craziest scheme that he's ever come up with that takes place later in this series. And, you know, I just really enjoy doing it, because I think that he's a character who thinks on his feet and usually has to think his way out of situations, because he's not going to get there by fighting.
Just from listening to you speak, I can tell that you love the Star Wars franchise. Do you remember how you were originally exposed to it as a kid?
Oh, yeah. I it was through comics. I was old enough that, you know, I was around when the first, you know, Star Wars movie came out, but I had not been able to get in to see the movies. Nobody could. It was, you know, this was before the day and age of the Megaplex, and so, you know, there would be lines around the block to see, you know, showings. And so I actually read the Marvel Comics adaptation that came out, the six-issue adaptation that Roy Thomas and Howard Chaykin did. I read the last issue of that the day before I finally got in to see the movie. And so this is why I've often said that comics and Star Wars are really intertwined for me in a way that I think, you know, is not unique, certainly, but is unusual, in that my first experience with Star Wars was a comics experience. And, you know, as I, you know, branched out and started writing prose, you know, I was able to look back on, I wrote my first Star Wars novel this year, you know, Knight Errant, and I have another one coming out next year, which is Lost Tribe of the Sith. But, you know, what do I remember? I remember that the first grown-up novel I ever read was Splinter of the Mind's Eye, which was Alan Dean Foster's sequel to Star Wars. That was the first sort of expanded universe novel that there was. That was back in, I think, 78 or, yeah, it was 78. So, you know, it's all part of one big continuum for me, I think.
You worked on the Iron Man series for a while when you were at Marvel. How is that experience different from this one?
Well, what we try to do with Iron Man is I wanted to make it very real life, the physics, the technology. I tried to make as accurate as possible. This was a storyline where he got involved with politics, where he became the Secretary of Defense. So, you know, we got to see There were scenes in Congress where I had to go, you know, find out exactly what the rules for Senate confirmation were and everything like that. And actually, it was kind of fun because some of the they pulled a character from our story arc into the movie, the first movie. And, you know, some of the other scenes, I think, you know, I feel, you know, sort of echo some of the things that we were doing, with that. Now, that's completely different, I think, from Star Wars, where, you know, it's sort of a fantasy science that's going on. You know, I don't have to worry about, how much torque a spaceship can take. I don't have to worry about figuring out, as I did with an issue of Iron Man, doing a time dilation calculation to see. and actually, this is a fun thing. On my website, farawaypress.com, I have a behind the scenes page for every comic book I've ever done. So I show that's where I show my work, and I show, you know, the stuff you didn't see that went into, you know, these details. With Star Wars, you know, it's different kinds of details. I do still try to play with, the rules of the universe that are given to us. The Force works a certain way, and, you know, spaceships and blasters behave a certain way. You know, lightsabers deactivate when they're dropped on the floor. You know, it's a different set of rules you have to learn, but I think it's like that in any milieu that you're working in.
Okay, getting back to War, what do you want readers to really take away from this series?
Well, I think the thing that people said, you know, about the previous series, and that's available in 9 volumes still in print from Dark Horse. I think that, you know, people said, you know, Zane, even though he's not a Jedi, he really does sort of, you know, espouse, or rather, his behavior reflects what we would want the ideal Jedi to behave like. You know, he doesn't have the badge, but he is still doing, good work. And I think the thing that people will see as they follow Zane through this series is, even though he is, you know, this unlucky kid, he's jinxed more or less, he does have a positive attitude, and he, you know, does work always to try to find, you know, the out of the box solution, the way out of this situation. We keep hitting it with no win situations, and he keeps figuring out a way out of them. You know, I would say it's the Kobayashi Maru, but that's the entire wrong milieu. that's Star Trek. So anyway, but that's the idea. Is, you know, I think that the fans have a fondness for this character. Fans who have not discovered him yet, I think, will be able to get a real sense of what he's like, and, you know, maybe they'll want to go back and read the previous books. They don't have to have read them, but I think we make it an attractive thing to do.